Chapter 10. After I took my second shower of the day, I checked my phone and saw a message from McElfrish.
"I've time for you, sir. Winky face."
Seems like the Irishman had a sense of humor. "I can be there in an hour and a half. Good?" I wrote back.
"Perfect,"
was the short man's reply. I went out to the living room as the movie was finished. "Hey, I know it's late," I said, "but I'm going to go sell some stuff in the city. Are you ladies going to be good here? Is there anything else you want me to pick up?"
"No."
Amrila shook her head.
"We'll be fine."
When Ibsith and Nylame said they were good too, I went back into the bedroom and opened the safe. I wanted to keep hold of the coins I'd acquired, since they'd been useful on trips to the gloom, but I'd found a lot of gemstones and jewelry over the course of my various quests, so I took several handfuls of these and put them in a bag. The first ring I'd sold had been worth over 8,000, so I had high hopes for how much money I could make tonight. I definitely didn't have to sell anything right now, because I had 500,000 in the bank, even after buying and furnishing the new house, but I thought it was best to keep ahead of things. I still had a lot of gold on hand, and several weapons with jewels set in their hilts, so there was a little something left for a rainy day. Meyer had also invested some of my money for me, so I knew I had the potential for a passive income to start rolling in. But still, I wanted to keep the bank full. The Tynors across the cul-de-sac had hinted they might want to sell their house, and the idea of a house for each of my wives held a lot of appeal to me. Things had started to heat up between Nylame and me, and I wanted to offer her the same as Ibsith at Amrila if that went well. Once again, I imagined a cul-de-sac full of beautiful, strange women from the gloom, and I smiled at the thought of playing with little blue and red-skinned kids in the yards. I wanted to be a good husband and father more than anything. But none of that would come cheap, not if Ibsith got her way, and I took many wives. Once I'd gathered everything I wanted to sell, I kissed my wives and hugged Nylame, who lingered in my arms a little longer than strictly necessary. And then I got into the Rubicon and drove up to Cleveland. It was a long drive, so I had a lot of time to think about my vision for the future. And the more I thought about it, the more I wanted it. The idea would have been insane to me even just a year ago, but now I couldn't wait to be a dad and have a whole mess of children. There would probably be a lot of questions at the hospital if my wives and I had kids, though. I could say Amrila and Ibsith were cosplayers all I wanted, but how do you explain a baby with blue-toned skin? I guess it was possible they would favor me, but there was no way to be sure until they were born. I guessed having them down in the gloom was a possibility, but in order for that to happen, I needed to take care of Ursinger first. Finally, I pulled up to St. Dunstan's Fine Jewelry, so I shook myself out of my musings and parked. Owen's storefront was dark, but I could see a light on, and Ricky sat next to the door. I had my concealed carry holster on under my t-shirt, since I was in the city late at night, and I holstered my Glock before I got out of my Jeep. By the time I walked up, the big guard already had the door open while he waited for me. "Hey, Ricky," I greeted the man in the black tracksuit. "How's it going?"
"Just fine, Eddie,"
the big man replied with a grin.
"How you been?"
"Pretty good," I grinned back.
"Boss is waiting in the office for you, so go on ahead,"
Ricky said as he closed and locked the front door behind us. "Thanks," I nodded. I walked to the door marked staff only and headed through to the long hallway beyond. Then I knocked on the office door and stepped through. McElfrish was sitting behind his desk, and his pompadour seemed higher than ever.
"Eddie!"
Owen grinned as he stood to shake my hand.
"Always a pleasure."
"Good to see you too, Owen," I replied with a smile before I handed him the bag of jewels.
"What did you bring me today?"
The Irishman gleefully rubbed his hands together, and then he carefully emptied the bag onto the desk. The jewelry and loose gemstones poured out, and Owen began to sort through them.
"Looks like you've been holding out on me,"
the short man joked as he picked up a blood-red stone and took out his jeweler's loop.
"I might actually have to do a little research today."
Owen pulled out a notepad as he started in on some of the loose gemstones, and I patiently waited for his verdict. McElfrish was a sketchy guy around the edges, but he'd always given me a fair deal in the past. And I'd had to admit, it was way easier to look up the going price of gold per ounce than trying to identify all these gemstones at home. Owen was currently inspecting one of the red jewels, and I couldn't tell if it was a ruby or a garnet.
"Holy shit!"
the dark-haired man said as his eyes widened a bit.
I don't want to talk out of my ass here, but I think this might be a diamond.
Really? I asked as I leaned forward. I knew diamonds could be yellow, but there are red ones too?
Oh, there are all kinds.
Owen replied as he turned the walnut-sized rock in his fingers.
Blue, chocolate, canary. Some of them are grown in labs, so they're not as valuable. But the red ones are like the Holy Grail. I've never seen one in person.
Damn, I breathed. How do we figure out if that's what it is?
Don't worry.
McElfrey smirked.
I know a guy, and he might be willing to come out here tonight for something like this. Let me make a phone call.
Of course, Owen knew a guy. The Irishman seemed to know a lot of guys. A few weeks ago, Owen had helped me get some paperwork and fake IDs for Ibsith and Amrila to make them seem like citizens. They'd even held up when Brock had tried to call immigration on my wives.
Murphy,
McElfer said into the receiver as he winked at me.
Yeah, I know it's late, but I've something here that you're going to want to see. A real treat. I'll give you the usual fee if you can drag your fat ass out here.
Murphy must have not been offended by the fat ass comment, because Owen laughed a moment later.
Oh, be a love and come over.
Owen wheedled.
I'll order some takeout for you, the whole nine yards.
There was another pause as McElfrish listened, and I looked down at the items on the desk as I wondered how well I stood to make out this time.
Yes, and some boba tea,
the slick man said into the phone.
I'll send Ricky out to see if they're still open. See you soon, Murphy.
Then Owen hung up the phone and smiled at me.
Murphy's a real character, but he's an absolute expert when it comes to stones. So he'll be able to tell us what all we have here and give us an idea of the current market.
The short man said in his light brogue. Great, I grinned. I'm really curious to see what he says.
While we wait, though,
Owen said as he folded his hands in front of him on the desk and leaned forward.
I was wondering if you remember that investment opportunity I mentioned.
Fuck. I knew this might come up. Meyer was the one who had given me Owen's name, but it had come with a warning not to get caught up in one of the Irishman's schemes. It was nice to have someone to sell my plunder to, and I actually kind of liked the short guy, but I didn't want to put my money into anything McElfrish was involved in. I just wasn't sure how to tell Owen that without offending him. I remember you saying something about it last time, I replied with a neutral expression.
I'm just trying to expand my portfolio.
McElfer started innocently enough.
You know, diversify. Me and some lads are thinking about opening some small businesses, electronics mostly. Would you be interested?
Well, that was vague. What are we talking about here? I asked as I chose my words very carefully. Like investing in a startup? Do you want to make the electronics or sell them?
More like opening storefronts in small communities,
Owen replied.
Mom and pop type places.
Where would you be opening up these stores? I asked, as red flags started to pop up in my mind.
Here and there,
Owen said with a sleazy smile on his face.
Some in southern Ohio and some rural parts of Pennsylvania.
It was a money laundering operation then. Owen and I both used Travis Meyer to handle our money. The lawyer slash CPA worked his magic to keep our taxes down and make our income look legitimate. I guessed if Owen had to find another means to clean his money, then this was shit even Meyer wouldn't touch, and I didn't want any part of it. Maybe I'll talk to Travis about it, I said to try to avoid giving Owen an answer right then. I know he has a lot of my money already tied up in investments, so most of it isn't liquid right now. Liquid was a thing, right? I'd heard the term on a lot of TV procedural dramas.
You stand to make quite a bit tonight, boy.
McElfrish pressed as something in his expression darkened.
I could take a cut of that for an investment, and we wouldn't have to bother Meyer about it.
Shit. I became all too aware of the fact that Ricky was posted up at the front door and armed. I knew Owen kept a sidearm, too, but I couldn't see if he had it on him under the desk. The Irishman almost certainly had criminal ties of some kind, but I had no way to know how far that went. Luckily, I was also armed, but I didn't want things to go south right now. A knot started to form in my stomach, and I could feel as my hands started to sweat a little. How would Owen react if I just told him no? If he stopped doing business with me, that was fine. I could probably find another fence. But I was suddenly very aware of the fact that I didn't know just what kind of man Owen McElfrish was. Can I think about it a little? I asked. I've some things I'm working on myself, and I just want to make sure I have all that covered before I spread my money out too far. I watched as the little man's eyes narrowed for a moment, and as my heart rate went up, I tried to keep my expression friendly and open. Given my backwoods accent and manners, playing the country rube seemed like the way to go.
Of course.
Owen smiled after a long pause, and his demeanor changed from night to day.
I wouldn't want to twist your arm or anything.
McGuffers laughed, so I laughed with him, but I knew that wouldn't be the end of it, and I should most likely find another place to sell my shit.
Let me just send Ricky out for some boba,
the dark-haired man said in a light tone.
Do you want anything? The Thai tea with black boba is my personal favorite.
Sure. I smiled and tried to ignore the sweat cooling on the back of my neck. Murphy, the gemstone expert, finally showed up around midnight. I'd spent about 20 minutes with Owen and Ricky at the front as we drank the boba tea. I'd been skeptical about the gel balls in the bottom of the sweet drink, but they turned out to be really good. Maybe I could take the girls on a boba date soon. Amrila might find it weird, but I bet Ipsith would be delighted by the sweet drink and the round, squishy pearls. I stowed that thought for later, as I focused on the present. Murphy turned out to be a man in his mid-60s, with a clean-shaven face and short salt-and-pepper hair. Despite the fact Owen had called him fat, the older man really just had a slight beer gut that came with age. But it was also highlighted by the red, striped polo tucked into dad jeans and a fresh white pair of New Balances.
Eddie, this is Sean Murphy.
Owen introduced us.
Murphy, this is Eddie Hill. And wait till you see the goodies he brought.
Nice to meet you, Eddie.
Sean replied in the same Boston accent as Ricky.
I brought all my stuff, but I might have to use some of your gear in the workroom, Owen.
My home is your home,
McAlfer said with a broad grin.
You mind the door, Ricky?
What the fuck else would I do?
The big man in the tracksuit scoffed as the rest of us headed back to the workroom. Owen already had everything neatly laid out on a big table that lit up from underneath like a light box, so Murphy clicked on the switch to light up the table and sat down with a grunt while Owen and I stood next to him.
I'm particularly interested in the redstone,
McAlfer said with a keen expression.
I'm wondering if it might be a diamond.
Quite a spread,
Sean mumbled as he looked at the jewelry and gems in front of him.
These pieces look pretty fucking old, but some of them don't have much wear. Where'd you get them?
I'd be interested to know myself,
Owen said as he turned to me.
It's been quite a mystery.
The Irishman had never asked questions about what I'd brought him before. It was one of the reasons I went to him. But something about Owen had changed since he started in with the investment bit, and I didn't like it. Some of it I found on my property, I said, since that wasn't new information to McAlfresh. Then I guess I got an eye for it and started to go to the estate sales and shit, find the things that maybe other people overlooked. It wasn't a great lie, but I was kind of on the spot with both of the men's eyes trained on me. The fact most of McAlfresh's associates seemed to all have Irish last names hadn't been lost on me, and I started to get a sneaking suspicion about it. A part of me just wanted to pack up all my shit and go home, but then there'd be even more questions.
Fed enough?
Owen replied casually, but something in his eyes made the knot in my stomach tighten.
If I had a line on shit like this, I wouldn't be likely to give it up either.
Murphy went to work and started to identify the jewels, and Ricky eventually came in with some food from a late-night takeout place. It felt like it took forever.
What's this one?
Owen asked as he picked up a ring with a large gray stone set in the center.
Seems like a lot of work for such an ugly stone.
The gray stone had a weird striped pattern on it, and I thought I'd seen something similar before. Murphy took the ring and studied it for a minute, and then he stopped to look something up on his phone.
Huh, weird.
Murphy huffed at what he read.
My guess is cobaltite. You don't usually see it in jewelry, since it contains trace elements of arsenic. It's pretty safe to wear, but if it gets scratched up, there's a small chance you could breathe it in or something. Odd choice for a ring.
It's not terribly attractive, either,
McAlfer said with a furrowed brow. I might hold on to that one, I said as I tried to sound apologetic. I didn't mean to bring it to sell. It was one of those things I found with Grandpa's old stuff. Must have gotten mixed in when I grabbed everything. Another lie. But I remembered what Becklin had said about cobaltite's magical properties, and I wanted to take it back to the Lost Dwarves. I'd gotten the ring on one of my first trips to the Gloom, and hadn't thought much of it, since it wasn't as flashy as the other pieces I'd found.
Your grandpa collected Iron Age jewelry?
Sean asked with surprise. Oh, I snorted. I don't think it's that old. Grandpa was a bit of a nut. He loved going to Ren Faire and buying up weird things. I held out my hand for the ring and hoped I sounded as casual as I thought I did.
The patina does make it seem newer.
Murphy shrugged.
Just be careful not to scratch the stone. I've never seen cobaltite like that. This article says it's mostly used for fuel cells and shit like that. Might be of interest to a mineral collector.
Good to know, I said as the gray-haired man handed the ring back to me, and I put it in my pocket. It was about another hour before Murphy finished his work and started to appraise the collection I'd brought.
Good news is, that's a red diamond.
Sean sighed as he stood up from the red stone Owen had been particularly interested in.
Looks natural, given the size and clarity. We're talking 4 million market value.
Really? I asked as my eyebrows shot up.
Holy shit.
Wonderful.
Owen rubbed his hands together.
What about the rest of this lot?
Just going on the raw materials,
the older man said as he sucked on his teeth.
With current rates, I'd say it's another 2 million easy. Might be more if you could provide provenance on some of the older-looking pieces.
Well, looks like we're both rich men, Eddie.
McElfrish laughed as he slapped me on the back.
Thanks for your time, Murphy. You can send your bill to one of my girls.
As Sean packed up his jeweler's supplies, Owen turned to me with a broad grin.
So, that's 6 million on the market?
The short man continued.
But once we take into account my time and expenses, Murphy's bill, and leaving some meat on the bone for me to make a profit, how does 3 million sound?
It sounded low, but I knew McElfrish expected me to negotiate. Could we bring that up to 4? I asked with a friendly smile.
3.5,
the dark-haired man countered.
Best I can do.
I knew this was the last time I would go through McElfrish, and given the tension that had started forming between us, I didn't want to push things too far. Really, I just wanted out of there, and it was still a shit ton of money, more than I had in the bank right now, and I'd be able to buy every single house on the cul-de-sac and still have plenty left over. I would take a slight loss just to get home and not have to deal with Owen again. I was sure I could find another guy in the next few months. Deal, I said as I shook the short man's hand. I'll let Meyer know to expect the transfer. We all went back up to the porch, and Owen wrote me up a receipt like always. Everything seemed friendly enough at the moment, but as I walked out the door into the cold night air and waved to Ricky, I could feel a wave of relief sweep over me. Then I quickly got in the Jeep and put the Glock in the center console. I guess I was officially a multimillionaire now, but something about tonight left a bad taste in my mouth. McElfrish was a charming guy, so I'd always been able to ignore the fact he had millions of dollars at his disposal. But I wondered now if he had ties with the Irish Mafia. I didn't even know if that was still a thing. Everything I knew about the Mafia came from movies and TV, and if those were to be believed, the Irish Mafia had been all over the Midwest in the 1920s and 30s. Maybe I was just paranoid, but my gut told me I was onto something. I had enough trouble to deal with in the gloom, and with Brock Stanton, so the last thing I wanted was to get involved even by association with the Mafia. I put the Rubicon in drive and started down the nearly deserted street. There was some light traffic from some of the late-night bars that had just started to close, but it was nowhere near the usual amount of traffic in the city. So I turned on the old radio and listened to an old rock station I'd enjoyed in college, with thoughts of home on my mind. I wanted to be in my bed, with Ibsith and Amrila curled up against me. But when I took the next turn, I noticed the headlights behind me turn too. I didn't think much of it until I turned again, and the headlights kept following me. Then an alarm started to sound in my head, and I tensed up again as my heart started to pound in my chest. After a moment of consideration, I took another turn I didn't need, waited a half second, and saw as the headlights of a black sedan turned too. Fuck.